Thank you, Jim. I apologize for that. I was doing good up until I started singing. So if I sound a little bit different, I've got a cough drop in my mouth, which it would help me out. What I've got to bring forth tonight's nothing new. I don't think any of us really have anything new that we bring out, but these are some thoughts that I have on my mind from time to time. And the same thoughts came back to me Saturday morning as I was starting to prepare for a sermon and praying about what it is that the Lord would have me to bring forth. And there are certain times that I feel real small, just, you know, real little in this, in the galaxies and in the realm of space and time. Sometimes when I'm out in the vast mountains and I'm up high in an area and I look out across things, I feel my nothingness. Is the word that comes to me. I don't feel like I'm nothing, but it's you know, I just feel so small in things. Some people are like that when they look out across the ocean and whatever it is that most of you, I'm sure, have been there at one time or another. You know, and I think of how great God is and all the things that he has going on. And I think, you know, does he really think about me? You know, I don't know. Has any of you ever thought that? Does he know me? Well, he does know us. I had some scriptures that came to mind. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in the 8th Psalm. Psalm number 8. And it's a short psalm, so I'll read the whole thing, but there's a couple verses that I want to expound on just a little bit. David writes here, "And Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." I remember verse 3 and 4, and they come to my mind quite a bit when I'm thinking, who am I, and who are we? On a nice bright night, I might step outside, especially, I like it when it's cool and cold out, to step outside and look up into the heavens and see the stars. They just seem to be more brighter and sparkly to me. And I'll look up and I'll think about God, and I think, out of all those stars and out of all of creation and stuff, why does he consider us? Why does he consider me in my estate? You know, because when you consider the heavens and the things that he's made, the moons and the stars, I think what it says here, as David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" The Book of Mormon says that we're an enemy to God, or the scriptures say that we are. Psalm 100, verse 3, David also says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." We are his people. We have the capability that the scriptures say to be sons and daughters of God. But I still wonder, you know, who am I that he thinks about me? I know that he knows each of us individually. As it says in Jeremiah that he created, well, let's just go to it. Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, I'll just read verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He forms us to be who we are. Each individual. But then I still wonder, out of all the things, why does he consider man? Well, let's go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to paraphrase quite a bit of this right here. But it starts out, in the beginning God created. He created the heaven and the earth. He set the sun for the day and the moon for night. He made the herbs and the fruit trees, and the fish and the birds, the cattle, and the creepy things that creepeth on the earth. Verse 26 of the first chapter. After he had done all this, he says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. He made all these other things first, and then in the sixth day he decided to make man, to make men and women. But what helps me to understand is he created us in his image. We are his creation. And if you've ever made anything, you know that if you've created it and you've made it, you like it most of the time. Either that or you work on it and you make it better. But it's something that you always remember. And God created us. In his image, so I figure that God and the angels, they have feelings, they have senses, they have reasoning, they have thought patterns, because he made us in his likeness and in his image. But yet I still wonder sometimes, why are we here? What do we have to do in the overall plan? So I was brought to mind in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. And it says here, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, and the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives, unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And it says up in verse 4 that his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. I don't know what a third part of heaven is. Don't have a number. Don't care. But what I do know is that there was some type of contention and there was a war in heaven. And Satan lost and he took his angels with him and they were cast down to earth. As it says in verse 12, Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. We were here on earth, or we're here on earth as people. Everything's not great. We're tried and we're tempted. But yet God still cares for us because he made us in his image. Do you have any chess players out here? They have elaborate chess sets and stuff, but most of the ones that if you just go by, the men are black and white. Or the chess pieces, I should say, because they don't have gender, except for the king and the queen, maybe. Represents opposition. And you have more pawns than anything. This is Mark thinking. This is just kind of how I rationalize things out in my mind. So we'll give it a try here. Do you use pawns to sacrifice? Do you use pawns to block other pieces? Do you use pawns to try to get the other side to move their men into certain positions so you can capture and take them and possibly get checkmate? Well, I hope this doesn't sound odd, but sometimes I feel like that I'm a pawn in life, that I'm stuck between good and evil. Frank Peretti wrote a book, and I believe it's This Present Darkness, where it talks about the spiritual things that goes on in the background of this town or these people. And you can't see what the people can't see what's going on. But we have these forces that we can't see. Because Satan and his angels were cast down. But we also have good things around us to guide us, direct us, help us to make choices in our life. Hopefully they help us to make the good choices in our life. But sometimes I feel like a pawn in this war between good and evil that goes on around us, that started in heaven. And I don't know when it started. That's another one of those deals where I don't care when it started. It happened. And it was cast down. So it helps me to understand, actually, who I am and that I'm here for some purpose. Probably better explained if I go to the Book of Mormon. It's a fairly long reading, but as I was talking, page 84. So I was talking to Jim earlier, sometimes the Book of Mormon, it's just, well, as Jim said, they're sermons in themselves lots of times. And the Book of Mormon actually is what helped me to bring me to realize that I needed Jesus Christ in my life and who he really was. To me, it explains things that for some reason I couldn't understand in the Bible, but it's the same stuff. It's just, it's worded different. It's worded in a way that I can understand it. I've gotten better with the Bible because the more you read stuff, the more you get better at what it's saying and stuff. Anyway, 2 Nephi, the first chapter. I'll start at verse 94. And now, my sons, I speak unto you these things for your profit and learning. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them is. Both things to act and things to be acted upon, and to bring about his eternal purposes in the end of man, after that he had created our first parents, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and in fine, all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition. Even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other. We're given choices every day. That's part of the whole thing is choice. Choices of good or choices of bad. And we have things that entice us. And we were given to act for ourselves, to make that decision. It goes on, and I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven. Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. And because that he had fallen from heaven, and he became miserable forever, and sought also the misery of all mankind. Wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies. Wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die. But ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Because they didn't know good from evil yet. Their eyes had not been opened. There we go. Forgot where I was, sorry. And after that Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out from the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And they have brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged, according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore, their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God hath given unto men. Flip real quick over to page 453. I'm just going to read one verse, so you can go there if you want to. It'd be Alma 19, and I'm going to read the 91st verse. Therefore, as they had become carnal, sensual, and devilish by nature, this probationary state became a state for them to prepare, became a preparatory state. And I see that state as our main purpose in life, is to prepare to meet God. Because I don't care if you believe in God or don't believe in God, there's going to come a day to where we stand before our Creator, the one that made us in His image. And we better make our probationary time, our time of preparing, worthwhile. Because we're either going to end up in heaven or we're going to end up in hell. It's where our soul will end up, one or the other. One on one hand and one on the other. So I know we have other purposes that God has given us in life, but I see our main purpose for each and every one of us on this planet is to prepare to meet God. For he gave commandment that all men must repent. For he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after that they were created. And they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh, in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. God had this plan in mind from the start of how to buy us back. That's what redemption means, is a buying back. A way that we would have a hope of eternity in heaven with God. And because that they're redeemed from the fall, they have become forever free, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments of God, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men. He created all things. He gave us dominion over all things. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. That's where our choice comes in. We have the choice of eternal life through the great mediator, which is Jesus Christ, or to death, according to the captivity and the power of the devil. That's the choice that we have to make. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments, and be faithful unto his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. And not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the devil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his kingdom. And he goes on to say, I have spoken these few words unto you all, my sons, in the last days of my probation. And I have chosen the good part according to the words of the prophet. And I have none other object, save it be everlasting welfare of your souls. Amen. Being that we were created in God's image, and that we are his creation, he cares about us. He just didn't say, well, there you go, you live and... The devil's running around all over the place with these angels, and he's enticing you, and we're telling you to follow our commandments and to do good so that you get to make that choice. He sent his son. So I don't mess it up. I'm going to go to John 3:16. Because he loves his creation, because it was created after their image. And Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For For God so loved that he gave us his son. He just didn't send him down here. He gave him to us as a little baby. And he grew up and he went through the things that we go through. And he was that great last sacrifice. And if we believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God and was sent down here to take away our sins and to buy us back from the fall of Adam, to make the atonement for the fall of Adam, whereas one man fell, one man is sacrificed to bring us back, that we have that hope that we can have eternal life with God. That if we make the right choices in life and follow after what God has told us to do and the teachings of his Son, Jesus Christ, we'll be there. He teaches us that we've got to repent and to be baptized and then endure to the end. First Peter. Chapter 1. And verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your father from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Because of who we are, God's creation, he had a plan to bring us back to him and to be with him forever. We were lost because of the fall of Adam, but because of Jesus Christ, we were brought back. We were redeemed with his precious blood. And it gives me hope. It gives me hope that I can dwell in heaven for eternity. It gives me hope that I can endure the things that I'm tempted with here on earth. It gives me hope that even though I see myself as a pawn in this battle and in this war of good and bad, that since I'm God's creation and I try to follow after his Son Jesus Christ, I don't do a good job at times, but I don't know as all of us do good all the time like we should, because we're enticed by one thing or the other. But whatever God decides to do with me, I know it's for my own good. Whether it's to help bring some soul to salvation, or to help somebody out, or to be a father or a husband or a grandfather, that I know and I trust that he'll put me there for a reason that would glorify him. I got one more scripture, then I've got another reading. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. I've just got a couple verses there. Excuse me. Because I feel like that not only do we have a purpose in life to prepare to meet God, but I feel like that since we're His creation, that we have a duty. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I see that as our duty, not to be scared of God, but that fear is a respect that He can cast our soul to hell, a respect that He can keep our soul in heaven, a respect that He knows what's better for Mark than what Mark does, and keep His commandments. And that would be a whole nother sermon and take up a... But He's given us instruction. We have it in the Bible and Book of Mormon. Instructions on how to lead our lives in a way that will get us into heaven. That we have that hope and faith. I like songs. I sing by myself. So I'm going to read it because I think songs are poetry. And when I hear this on the radio, lots of times it brings me to tears at times. Because I don't know how you individually know that God knows who you are, but I know how God knows who Mark is at times. I know that He cares about me. I know that He wants me to make the right choices in life. And if you've ever been called to the ministry, you know He knows who you are. The name of this is Who Am I? And it's by Casting Crowns. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way from my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what You've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who You are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still You hear me when I'm calling. Lord, You catch me when I'm falling, and You've told me who I am. I am Yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? I am Yours. Whom shall I fear? Because I am Yours, I am Yours. So who am I? I am the Son of the living God. I am part of His creation, and He made me, and He made each and every one of you.